Leave your mom and dad. You have children of your own. You live and operate in an adult world. You are more responsible to more people than ever before. You are growing up. That means it's time to launch from the nest. I know you don't live at home anymore, but that is only a matter of geography. It's been said that the umbilical cord is the most elastic material in the universe. The launching process is the most important journey of your life, and it is by no means an easy one. We've already looked at that in Chapter 4. Your need for mom and dad's input should decrease as your adulthood increases. Now, I know this is a hugely complicated issue, and it's one that will be fully addressed in another scream-free book. But put simply, you need to be actively growing your relationship with your parents to a more adult-to-adult dynamic, so that you can parent your own children without still feeling like a kid yourself. Know when to say when. What we ultimately have to recognize is that our desire to understand and categorize our children's behaviors is really a desire for something else altogether. In reality, we want to show ourselves and others to whom our kids really belong. Therein lies the problem. They don't really belong to us. They belong to themselves. When we pigeonhole them into a certain pattern of behavior, we limit their ultimate potential. We limit their discovery. We take from them the one certainty in life: change. So, learn when to say when. Years ago, when they first came into the world, we gave our children names. Let's stop there. Reflection questions on Chapter 7. Number 1. What label did you grow up with? How has that label continued to affect you and your decisions well into adulthood? Number 2. What labels have you already placed on each of your children? Number 3. How might your discussions about your children change if you absolutely refused to hang a label, prophecy, comparison, or curse around their necks? Number 4. When was the last time each of your children genuinely surprised you with their behavior? How did you respond? Number 5. What would be different if you approached every new interaction with your children without an expectation of their responses? Story time. This story involves a man and his 10-year-old daughter both having to adjust to a terrible situation. Listen for Robert's revolutionary decision to create space, calm himself down, and become more available to his daughter than ever before. A coaching client of mine named Robert got divorced shortly after his daughter, Jessica, was born. He later remarried. His relationship with his ex-wife remained terrible, however, and his relationship with his daughter suffered as a result. Suddenly, Robert's ex-wife discovered she had cancer and soon tragically passed away. Jessica was only 10 years old and had endured more than her share of suffering already. Now she had to move in with her father and his newly blended family. To make things even worse, she had to start at a new school in the middle of the year. Robert had his hands full already adjusting to a new wife and her children. Now he took on the challenge of embracing his devastated little girl and the mixed emotions he felt over his ex-wife's death. He needed space, and he needed to avoid intruding on Jessica's space. Father and daughter were both facing a difficult challenge to grow. Jessica was strong, but even youth has its limits. The Friday before Mother's Day, Robert got a call from the school. The class had started to make cards for their mothers, but Jessica just sat quietly crying by herself. By the time Robert got there, she was inconsolable. He himself was gripped by a flood of emotions. He felt so much pain for his daughter. And yet, to be brutally honest, he felt inconvenienced, even angered by this whole situation. He could have chosen to become bitter and resentful. Instead, he chose to grow. And this is how Robert was able to make one of the greatest parenting choices in history. Who knows where ideas like this come from? It doesn't matter, really. What matters is that Robert and Jessica connected that day in a way they'll never forget. Robert took Jessica out of school for the rest of the day. He called work and told them he'd be back in on Monday. Then the two of them went to Party City, where he bought helium balloons and permanent markers. They went to a nearby park, where Robert explained that just because Mommy died, there was no reason why Jessica couldn't still send her a Mother's Day card. They just needed to make sure the card could make it all the way up to heaven.